We completed discussing the verses from chapter 12, so we're moving on to chapter 13, and we're going to start, because I've already covered the first 10 verses, we're going to start with text 11, just a little refresher for those that weren't with us yesterday. The previous chapter creation of the Kumaras and others, so we heard about some others. Some of the others, two of the others, were the first Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, and his wife Shatarupa. They were manifested directly from the body of Brahma when he was contemplating, gee, the universe isn't filling up with living entities. And I created the universe and I set things in motion, and somehow it's a providential plan that it's happening this way. Destiny is the word that's used. And so he was accepting the destiny, but he was also contemplating, because he had some service to do, how to do that service. And bhavati, voila, two living entities just came from his body. And they were ready to carry out whatever service was wanted. So chapter 12 ends with that message, and chapter 13 begins. They're saying, Swayambhuva Manu was saying, some service? What service would you like of us? We're ready. Just instruct us. We want, you are our father, and we want to carry out whatever it is that you want, just let us know. And so, Lord Brahma says, I am very pleased with you, and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have without reservation surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions. And what you can imagine the purport. Oh, hero, your example is quite befitting a son in relationship with his father. This sort of adoration for the superior is required. Those, one who is beyond the limit of envy and who is sane, kind of seems like they would go together, but maybe not. Accepts the order of his father with great delight and executes it to his full capacity. Now, the relationship in this case is father and son, but Prabhupada naturally has extended it to one who is looked up to as a superior, and I'm subordinate, and, you know, you can imagine, shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapanam, the message of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna submitting himself, or Sanatana Goswami submitting himself. And the sages of Naimisharanya submitting themselves to Suta Goswami. Maharaj Parikshit submitting himself to Shukadeva Goswami. It's a principle. And just some appreciation a little detail on that principle. I learned something from visiting South India, the places where Lord Chaitanya visited. There's a place where Lord Chaitanya visited where it's known as the place of surrender. And it's the place where many persons surrendered, but one of the surrenders, prominent one, is where Vibhishan came with four ministers and surrendered to Lord Ramachandra. Then there's this whole thing that went on. He didn't just directly surrender to Lord Chaitanya, to Lord Ramachandra. He surrendered, he sent through the devotees of Lord Ramachandra his will, his desire to be accepted and his submission to be accepted. And so he's hovering in the air with some mystic power and his four ministers behind him, and there's this back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, because in a fitting manner, Lord Ramachandra asked his advisors and ministers, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? And they all had a different thought. None of them was like, yeah. And silent was Hanuman until called upon, and then Hanuman said, I think you've already accepted him. Because even if he has some motivation, blah, 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 because the others were saying, what if he has a motivation? Maybe he knows that Ravana is going to be defeated and he's next in line, and so he wants to be on the good side of you, and so maybe he's got a motivation. Hanuman said, that's not the essence. The essence is his submission to you. So if it's mixed bhakti, he's submitting to you, you've already accepted him. So we should accept him. And then Ram said a very famous quote, one who even wants, so there's a group of Sri Vaishnavas that hang on to this, just wants, not an ongoing submission, just wants, just submit for that day forward. I give my solemn vow, that person will be protected. So, just surrender once. That saying of Lord Ramachandra, it epitomized or was an example of what after Ramanujacharya resulted in a split in the followers of Ramanujacharya. Some said ongoing submission, some said just once. And then, so there's two groups. It happens. There's groupism. So, specific to that place of surrender, connected to what's going on here, the surrender of Manu to Lord Brahma. Mind you, these two are Mahajans. They're not like us. They're great authority. They're the greatest authorities. The 12 Mahajans, there's two. So, when Vibhishan was surrendering, the Sri Vaishnavas, they have commentary on Ramayana like we have our Gaudiyas have commentary on Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. They're Ram Bhaktas. And obviously have different takes on things. But one of the prominent appreciations of this place of surrender is the four ministers. It's a nice point. The four ministers of Vibhishan that came with him, they represent the characteristics of submission to a superior. So it kind of breaks it down a little bit. You know, Padma Purana says there's six limbs of surrender. And their commentators say, it's a contradictory statement, but there's four aspects. Two have to do with the person who is surrendering, and two have to do with the one who is being surrendered unto. So the two that are characteristics of the one surrendering, they're somewhat similar, but one's positive and the other is negative. So the positive is full submission, unconditional, full submission, blank slate, like Sanatana Goswami, Prabhupada's expression. Blank slate. You can write in me whatever you want. I'm ready. And the other is no other shelter. Full submission and not hedging. Well, Jiva Goswami comments, not specific to this Vibhishan event, but the King Nriga, his hedging was, he was a Krishna Bhakta, he hadn't seen Krishna, but he heard about Krishna and he wanted to see Krishna. He was a contemporary, he wanted to see him. You know, I want to see you, I want to know you. He didn't, you know, make a hit song, but that was his desire. And just in case he wanted to, he had another basket. The other basket was, let me do some punya for a king, and then that, you know, help my punya accumulation will help me get what I want. Because you don't need, but it was the intention behind the punya, that giving in charity of cows to brahmanas, was for that purpose. It was a karmakanda intention. There's nothing wrong with giving cows, but it was a karmakanda intention. So behind what we do, intention is really important. Somebody was asking that yesterday. Really important. Not, we may not start with that really important element because we have mixed intentions. We have things that are differently important to us. So, those are the two from the submission side. And then from the surrendered unto side, they're ready to give when there is that submission, like Krishna. You surrender unto me, and then the protection comes. And so the second part is one has the capacity, the power to give the protection. Don't become a mother or father or a teacher or a guru unless you have that qualification. So the child, in this case, Swami Bhuvamanu, submitting unto Brahma. Brahma has the qualification. We heard yesterday and day before, he's superlatively qualified. His body is Shabda Brahman. And even after he gave up his first body, that Shabda Brahman capacity stayed with him, etc. He's qualified. And he's recognizing the submission, the unmixed, unmotivated submission of Swami Bhuvamanu. Great combination. It's the combination of leading to perfection. So now we'll go to text 11. Since you are my very obedient son, I ask you to beget children, qualified like yourself in the womb of your wife. Rule the world in pursuance of the principles of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, that's the Varnashram system. And thus worship the Lord by performance of yajna. The three things. Purport. The purpose of the material creation by Brahma is clearly described herein. Every human being should beget nice children in the womb of his wife as a sacrifice for the purpose of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. So, the purpose behind the Vedas is to please the person. The purpose behind life, guided by the Vedas, is whatever you do, Krishna is to be pleased. And there's guidelines of how you do this, that, and the other service. That's the Daivi Varnashram system. But the essence is not just the behavior. The essence is the purpose behind. In Vishnu Purana 3:8-9, it is stated, famous verse, Varnashram acharavata purushena parakpuman Vishnur arajyate pantha nanyat tatoshakaranam. One translation. One can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, by proper discharge of the principles of varna and ashram. There is no alternative to pacifying the Lord by execution of the principles of the Varnashram system. Paragraph. Vishnu worship is the ultimate aim of human life. Those who take the license of married life for sense enjoyment must also take the responsibility to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and the first stepping stone is the Varnashram Dharma system. Varnashram Dharma is the systematic institution for advancing in worship of Vishnu. However, if one directly engages in the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it may not be necessary to undergo the disciplinary system of Varnashrama Dharma. The other sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, directly engaged in devotional service, and thus they had no need to execute the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Well, it's a hot potato. Varnashram Dharma. Little sharing. Sometime back, I had requested, there were executive committee meetings of the North American GBC, you know, some GBCs and some other invited people, and held in Chicago, and I volunteered to assign topics to the speakers so that the devotees present and could be recorded, and, you know, topics that then the ISKCON devotees in North America could hear their leader speaking on topics that would be perhaps relevant and hopefully relatable. So one of the topics was Varnashram, because Prabhupada writes about it. And Nutama was the chosen person to speak. And what he spoke, Shivaram Maharaj was very interested in the Varnashram topic. He heard the recording and he wrote to me saying, you know, because Anuttama couldn't really relate to Varnashram. He gave examples. Just, he didn't have an understanding that Shiva Maharshi had. So I said, how about next year, you take the topic and you speak on the topic in a way that's different than what Anuttama spoke. He said, yeah, I want to do that. So we had him Skyped in for a morning class. He's in Hungary, we're in Chicago. And his class was so wonderful. I called him up after the class and said, would you be open to the idea of a seminar held in Gitanagari where the topic is exploring Varnashram? He said, yeah. So Vraj Bihari got wind of it and said, hot potato. Meaning, there's people on this side and people on that side, and they, you know, you bring the topic and they get into a dispute. So the dispute resolution person, Vraj Bihari, said, whoa, hot potato, we could just divide, you know, this group and that group. So you got to have balance here. So he agreed to be the facilitator. And it was a very balanced exchange. And, you know, a nice resolution. One of the outstanding speakers during that event was Tukaram, who, you know, he's an interesting personality, to say the least. But, you know, what he's really good at is research. There's many things he's good at. One of the things he's really good at is research. So he made a really, really brilliant, short, not long-winded presentation. You know, there's the people on this side say this, the people on that side say that. What did Prabhupada want? And that, you know, it was very logical. The research, I'm sure he could have said a bunch of things on both sides, because he knows what both sides say, what Prabhupada said, because he said sometimes, it's right here in the purport. And it's in many places. He said this, and then he said that, so which is it? And some people make reference to these quotes, and some people make reference to those quotes, and they get out their sticks, and they hit each other with quotes. So he didn't do that. He just like, so there's these two sides, now where do we go from here? And the short answer, conclusion, was something like this. Now if he was in the room, he'd probably say, no, that's not what I said. What I understood what he said, the conclusion was, Varnashram that looked like prior to Kali Yuga, that's not possible. Varnashram is essential because it's Krishna's social system. So we can't torpedo Krishna's social system because it's Kali Yuga. But it needs to be customized for our Vaishnava organization. He did want Varnashram for our Vaishnava organization. With the exception that there may be some superlative personalities, like the Kumaras, they don't have to follow Varnashram, or Shukadeva Goswami didn't have to be initiated, and you know, there's exceptional personalities. That because they're so exceptional, they don't require, you know, training wheels for to ride a bicycle. They can ride a bicycle. They're spontaneous. They do not require, but society in general requires. But it has to be, you know, realistic, according to time, place, circumstance. The detail, but the principle is needed. That was kind of like his conclusion. That's not what I said, Maharaj. I said da 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 da. But anyway, it's a topic of controversy. And just a little another sharing. There's a devotee in the training in China. they have a strategic plan and they're following it, or they're trying to follow it. And one of the sectors of their strategic plan, they have, you know, dealing with the government is one of them, but training and education. So one of the devotees involved in the training and education department has a lot of interest in two topics: grihastha training, novel, and varnashram, more novel. And so they're asking, should we go in that direction? And I said, you know, I was thinking, better contact Braj Bihari. You got to have a balanced approach. It can't be, you know, quote bashing, people saying, why are you talking about this? And no, we got to talk about this. And so make sure you have a balanced picture of what it is and why it's important and how to begin. Because, okay, first is it important? And then is, how do you do it? And there's lots of impractical ideas about how to do it, and therefore it never really gets any traction, because it's not at least the conclusion that we came to in this Gita Nagari, exploring Varnashram, is it can't be just the model of Vedic times. It has to be a practical model. What does that look like? Anyway, it's not really evolved so well so far. But there are some balanced people that are really serious about applying it. In my opinion, Shivaram Raj is one of them. And there's some section, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Chapter 11, Canto 7, Chapter 11, where Yudhisthira Maharaj is asking Narada Muni, who narrates the whole canto, wow, Prahlad Maharaj is way up there. How do you get way up there? I'm supposed to be the emperor of the world, and I have to guide all the citizens of the world to go towards the goal. I like the goal. How do you get there? He didn't use that language, but that's his question. And Narada said, fantastic question. And Varnashram is that method. But before you can follow Varnashram, you have to become a human being, because Varnashram is meant for human beings. And here's characteristics of a human being. So in Hungary, for at least a year, after a year prior to that, of how do we get there, how do we develop, not just at Nuvraja Dham, not just at the farm, but the whole, you know, wherever people live. It's this, the social structure for human population, and to do it for Krishna. So at the beginning, they reach this conclusion, let's just spend time becoming human beings. Another novel idea. It, you know, it's not like we put in the back seat Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, but the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, that's the horsepower to become more human. So the horse is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, and the cart is, that's being pulled by the horse, is become human. So they focused on the characteristics that are mentioned there, like, you know, everywhere in the whole of Hungary, for this month we're going to focus on this one. And all the classes were focused on this one and trying to apply, you know, going deeply into characteristics of a human being. Now, I don't know how far they got. Like, did all the devotees become more human? But it certainly wasn't a loss, because it's Narada's instruction. polish the diamond. So, back to the purport. We know from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Roy by the banks of the Kuveri that when Ramananda Roy suggested Varnashram, Lord Chaitanya said, that's external. Go on. Now, that didn't mean throw it in the garbage pan. It's quoted and quoted and quoted and quoted, but it's standing alone is not sufficient. Doesn't mean trash it. It's standing, so if it's external, what's internal? What does it mean, what's internal? And how do you do it? So you can do a behavior but not have the right consciousness behind the behavior. That's the external. That's one aspect of external. Following without clearly understanding the purpose behind, in Rupa Goswami's language, Shadbir Bhakti Vinashati, doing without the purpose behind it. Yet you miss the mark. So what's the mark? It's, you know, taking full shelter of the hearing and chanting process. That doesn't mean that you trash the Varnashram part. The essence is the full, so that's what's being spoken here. If one directly engages in the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it may not be necessary to undergo the disciplinary system of Varnashram Dharma. And he cites the Kumaras. They directly engage in devotional service, and thus they had no need to execute the principles. That doesn't mean that Swami Bhavamano and his wife didn't directly engage in devotional service. But they're being instructed by Brahma, follow Varnashram standards when you become householders and do your duties in that way. Krishna gives similar arguments to Arjuna. Not like the essence of Bhagavad Gita is you perform your prescribed duty, but it's, you know, perform your prescribed duty. Mamanusmara yudhyata. Yudhya, that means fight, so his duty as a kshatriya is his duty. Fight. And mamanusmara, always think of me. It's external. It, you know, the external is karma yoga is insufficient without the complete form, the mature form. It's just like not yet mature form in one sense of bhakti. Everything is for Krishna. Maybe that's enough. I could go on to the next one. Anybody want to talk about Varnashram? Or any of these topics? If there's some discussion. Yes?
Maharaj, I remember looking into that same section, Narad Muni and Yudhisthira that you mentioned.
Hmm.
And one scholar was characterizing those kind of principles of human life as Samanya Dharma, which is foundational to Varnashram Dharma, which is kind of like the practices once you have the principles. So can you share for us some of the principles of what it means to be a human? Or if you remember anything from Shivaramarsha's...
Well, no, not from Shivaramarsha's topics, but from hearing Prabhupada, human, what's the duty of the human form of life? Self-realization. To know who you are. Animals can't, you can't bring animal in, let's realize who you are, please. They don't have the capacity. So the human form, the human mission is to know who you are. And who are you? So it starts Brahmabhuta, or Aham Brahmasmi, then next, you know, as a soul, I'm the servant of the Supreme Lord, and all the cosmic manifestation is His, and I'm meant to engage it in His service according to His standards, and then, you know, continue further. What's my eternal relationship with Krishna, my spiritual form? What's my swarup? What's my rasa? It unfolds. But the starting point is Brahma-bhuta.
So that's human.
That's human. And without it, animal. You know, Prabhupada was heavy. And you're not quoting verses and giving examples. Without surrender to Krishna. You know, then you have a wrong understanding of Krishna, and they don't surrender to Krishna, and they're animals. Oh, heavy. Heavy. You know, depending upon the audience, but you're heavy. So, that's the essence of human, is to be inquisitive at least. Brahma jigyasa. Atato, atta, one of the now having achieved the human form of life, what's the mission? Inquire into Brahman. Who am I? You know, beyond the temporary, who am I? So the first principle is, you're not the body. And how many people are living their lives with that understanding? So they're not human. Anyway, that's the, you know, the harsh way of saying. But, you know, let's say that the positive way is the essence of humanness is to know who you are. Knowledge. Knowledge that removes ignorance. You know, lower species are in ignorance. They don't know who they are. And the beginning of knowledge is self-knowledge. You know, therefore, one can follow the Varnashram system and do it externally, not have a proper understanding of Krishna, and, you know, it's external. It's not humanness yet. But without following the Varnashram system, so many times Prabhupada has said, one isn't, it's a dvipada pashu. Human life begins accepting Varnashram, but then, what's the humanness of Varnashram? What's the purpose of the Vedas? What's the purpose of... Because it's from the previous chapter. Chapter 12, where Brahma creates all these things. The purpose of all those things, the purpose of the Vedas. To know Krishna. So, Prabhupada's statement, I've been hearing him speak on this over and over. How can you know Krishna if you don't know yourself? Now, a misrepresentation is, well, we don't really try to understand Krishna, we just try to understand who we are. That's, you know, how can you understand yourself if it's out of contact with Krishna? But, you know, the preliminary is to understand Brahman before you can more completely understand Bhagavan.
Sadhir Hari Toshanam, if they don't have that purpose in mind, then they're not yet human life.
Yeah. And the Bhagavatam is instructing us, and we are to be carriers of the Bhagavatam message when we're doing our outreach. And it's not like you get a stick and you hit people, but we should be clear when we're doing outreach, reaching people, just as Prabhupada did. He was reaching people that he knew, you know, they're unqualified. They're animals. Now, some cases he didn't speak that way. In some cases he spoke that way. But he knew what his mission was, is to bring people to the, you're not the body. And it under... With the purity of descending knowledge through disciplic succession, with that fidelity and focus convey the message. Customized for the audience, no problem. And with compassion. But, you know, after saying all these sometimes heavy things, his real intention, he stated at the end, almost always, be happy. Prasanatma. How can you be happy if you have a misconception of who you are? If you don't know who you are? You're going to be a happy animal. That's not happy. And then perpetuating. So, yes.
And this is the second point of the characteristic of one who is being surrendered onto. He said there are two characteristics.
Yes.
The first one was they have to have the capacity to be able to give, the power to give.
This is on the receiving end.
Yes. The person being surrendered to.
Yes.
I'm
trying to remember, but my the best of my memory is their willingness to accept. You know, the saralata, that's my memory. That they're so that can be the submitting person, but it can also be, you know, they receive the submission willingly. They have the power to reciprocate, but they give that shelter, the willingness. As opposed to those that are the liberationists, that they're not interested in extending themselves. They're interested in their own liberation. But, you know, the person to be surrendered unto is they're willing to extend. And it gets involved sometimes, usually. But the willingness in reciprocation with that submission. I'll if it's different than that, I'll let you know. In fact, I'll send you a little document that spells it out with the Sanskrit terms that the Sri Vaishnavas use. And then you can share with others. We're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.